Welcome to the Government IT Podcast from Converge One Government Solutions, featuring expert discussions around cloud solutions, cybersecurity, modern workplace, enterprise networking, and customer experience for government and civil agencies. And now, here are your hosts, Ryan Heath and Julian Foster.
All right, I want to welcome everyone to the Converge One GovIT Podcast. Today, we're happy to have Dave McAllister from Zoom Communications, along with Leo Martinez, joining myself and Ryan Heath from Converge One Government Solutions. And today, we're going to be talking about some Zoom success stories, some upcoming items for the new year, particularly key areas of focus in the Fed and SLED space. And as usual, I know Ryan has a lot to talk about with Leo, get into the nitty gritty with this. So Ryan, why don't you go ahead and take it away?
All right. Thanks, Julian. All right, Leo, let's just get right into it. Looking for, kind of your success stories for last year. What kind of milestones did you guys hit? And, really kind of focused on that Zoom for government space.
So for Zoom, I'm not sure that everybody knows, but we actually have two separate platforms, one that's commercial, and then more importantly, there's one for that's federalized and for strictly for our public sector customers. And last year was a nominal year for us because we actually engaged and pulled up our posture, our security posture a lot, and enhanced that throughout the year. So we got two prestigious certifications or attestations. So one of which is StateRAMP. So StateRAMP is a certification similar to FedRAMP, where state and local municipalities, as well as agencies, those that require strong compliance and security protocols. That's a designation that we firmed up in July. And then in addition to that, we also received our Criminal Justice Information Services, otherwise known as CJIS, an attestation back in January. On the Fed side, we also got our IL4 moderate accreditation, and that ensured us to provide information flow or data flow for the unclassified designature. And so, so the platform overall, the security posture has been well enhanced throughout the year. And so we're looking forward to the following year, increasing that and upping the ante on those protocols.
Great. That's very good progress. Now, what kind of success stories would we be looking at from last year? Where was the biggest kind of growth area within the government space for you guys?
Yeah, for us. So Zoom Rooms, very popular. So it's a capability that exists that allows for conferences, huddle rooms. Think of that in a typical meeting. It allows if we need to have sidebar conversation. We've had a lot of success with that, particularly within the criminal justice and more so access to justice space within court systems. Bankruptcy courts have started using this, and as well as the attorney office out of DC have started leveraging this capability, as well as our Zoom phone. So Zoom phone is a new capability in which we've managed to get 4 million seats within a matter of a year and a half. And so that's a phone, a capability that now exists within both platforms, allows one, a complete unified communications platform, and allows government employees to have that additional capability if they're not using the unified communications type of setting, typical meetings or the Teams chat features. So phone allows where employees can speak back and forth, whether they're in the field or whether they're in the office. So that's another capability that's really popular at the moment.
Great. Yeah, I think Zoom phone can really replace, majority of the PBXs out there, especially in the unclass side. It really works really great with analog devices as well, which some of our other competitors have issues with.
Yeah, if I can add to that, on top of that, last year, like Leo said, a big year for us around Zoom rooms. With the move of the federal government back to more of a normalization as far as where they're working from, really more to a hybrid mode. So now you have employees not just mostly at home, you have lots of employees back in the office, you have lots of employees still at home offices, and so you've got them going in between. So now we have offices reopening, and we have a huge amount of remote workers. And so for Zoom rooms, huge boon there, like Leo mentioned earlier. We've got customers looking for places, still looking for rooms in their homes to turn their offices into Zoom rooms for collaboration purposes. And now we've got a large footprint of federal real estate waking back up and reestablishing collaboration spaces there. One of the tools on this side that's been hugely successful are tours of Zoom headquarters virtual. And what we do in these tours is we take our customers through a scenario through about 45 minutes to show them 5 to 7 different scenarios that they might use in any vertical, a federal, state, local, education, or whatever it might be, where they can see how Zoom rooms are actually deployed. They can get a feel for on a live call with a specialist what a Zoom room actually looks like, what monitors and equipment and poly and neat devices might look like in a Zoom room. And then that makes that product jump from the data sheet into their mind, and they go, oh, So that's when I can do with that 10 by 10 closet down the hallway here that's full of debris, I could actually turn that into a huddle room with a one screen and two chairs. So a big year for us around Zoom rooms.
Yeah, I've experienced a couple of those presentations so far. And I found that very interesting to kind of go through, especially with the multiple cameras, the angles that you guys have. So now with the low cost, you know, entry point now for multiple cameras is pretty insane. Take that 5-10 years ago, that had been a $100,000 solution, a multiple camera setup. You know, now you're talking a couple $1,000 to get, you know, even higher quality video with AI in the background, just kind of picking that for you and choosing, you know, the best angles. Seems to work out really well. So yeah, it's great to hear, you know, all the success you guys had last year. And, you know, let's start talking about, you know, 2023. Where are you guys going to move into? You know, what kind of things can we look forward to in the marketplace? You know, how are we going to kind of expand the federal presence a little more? We just dive into those sections here.
Yeah. So, you know, we've had more success, I would say, on the civilian side, and we're just kind of beefing up our kind of more compliance protocols for within the FedRAMP framework. And so right now, you know, we have IL4 moderate, but the goal, hopefully by the end of the year, is to get to our IL5, IL6 designation, where bulk of classified information data flows through, you know, DISA. So that's going to be a big thing. We'll be working from a compliance front. In addition to that, we have new capabilities, including contact center, as well as Zoom events that will soon be deploying later this year on the Zoom for Government platform. And events is a really popular thing going on within both SLED as well as very much in the federal space, in that it allows for agency communications and allows for agencies to really collaborate a lot more with constituents, those external call needs, and where they have a need, like hit city council meetings, think of RFP open meetings and those type of settings. Those two capabilities are really going to be popular for us this next year.
Great. Yeah, that's exciting. And, you know, looking forward to seeing the contact center on ZoomGov. That's going to be a beautiful thing, I think, for the marketplace out there. What kind of focus are we going to be looking into, let's say, on just the SLED space within, you know, states? What kind of traction have you guys seen, especially with StateRAMP coming on board last year? Is there been a lot of activity that's kind of growing into that area?
There really is. And so with StateRAMP, that's actually a new framework. Obviously, it's similar and adopted from FedRAMP. And it was created back in 2020. The CIO, J.R. Sloan, out of the state of Arizona, is the president of StateRAMP. And it was kind of his ideation to put this whole thing together. And so StateRAMP is now 2.5 years, or now almost 3 years, in the works. And there actually are 10 leading states, including Arizona, Michigan, Texas, California, and then including Florida as well, that are kind of leading the charge, including some others. But more recently, in September, this past fall, we started seeing actual local municipalities and even educational institutions that are jumping on board single-handedly, not through the state mandate or through their respective states that are leading this charge, but just because they want to meet those and ensure that those security protocols and that the compliance are, you know, very much on the top or the back of their minds. They want to meet those designations, and so they don't have to worry about it. But therein, they're going to need to move over to the StateRAMP designation. And StateRAMP is supported by our Zoom for Government platform, not just FedRAMP, but as well as the criminal justice and some of the IL different framework protocols. And so state and local, where we've seen a lot of success, our biggest customer base, hands down, are court systems. And so representative of over 50% of our total customer base today. And then in addition to that, we have a lot of workings with local municipalities and then also at the state agency front, including child services, and then as well as mental health starting to play a role that we're starting to get entrenched with.
Okay, so a lot of telemedicine is also coming up as a very important piece within the state ramp piece. Okay. Now, does the state ramp and FedRAMP, does that have the same like connotation? Everything's kept in the U.S.
It is.
Run by U.S. citizens, 100%.
Exactly right. So as to maintain those accreditations, you need to have U.S.-based citizens. You need to ensure that the data flows all are here within the U.S. And so we run on AWS. And right now, the bulk of our data rolls under AWS East Cloud to ensure that we have redundancy and to ensure that we don't have any type of breakage or outages and whatnot. We're actually doubling up and going into AWS West right now as we speak. And so we're in the midst of our JAB accreditation, which is a part of FedRAMP. And part of that is to have that redundancy. And so that's where that data flow into the West data center is going to be forthcoming under AWS.
And then within, you know, Zoom for Government, can you guys support CONUS and OCONUS projects as well?
We can. Yeah. So as long as the data, you know, continues to flow through the US, but the individuals or clients join in, yes, that capability does exist. So we're starting to see interest very much coming from Europe on the Zoom for Gov platform, including Ministry of Defenses and as well as Ministry of Justices. So we have interests from Spain that are starting to show because of our court systems offerings capabilities that are interested both in that, but as well as Zoom for Government specifically because of those, you know, strong security protocols exist.
And then, you know, kind of really looking forward to, say, 6 months from now, what kind of things are we going to be looking for Zoom for Government to come out with that we can get excited about, you know, kind of really hit that, especially on the federal side, that September deadline of when a lot of the transactions actually happen? What kind of things should we be talking to our clients about? What kind of things should they be investigating?
Yeah. So, you know, we're really big about accessibility and those features, not just having access or empowering or enabling hybrid work, but accessibility features, including translation, transcription. Come February, March, our transcription and translation services will be fully deployed on Zoom for Government. Later in the year, we're going to be launching Zoom events in around the May timeframe, which we already previously spoke about is a very hot offering right now within the overall government landscape. And then finally, Contact Center, which is probably going to hit just before the close of the fiscal year. So think of probably July or August, as well as maybe within the early September timeframe. Once Contact Center hits, that's really going to kind of entrench us in the federal space.
That's great. I've been looking at on the commercial side, and it's a pretty powerful thing to add into your platform. So really looking forward to having that kind of encompassed, you know, platform that just keeps adding features and functionalities like that. That's a big step. Now, you know, I want to talk about empowering the customers. So, you know, we are running a proof of concept that's, you know, zero cost. We add in handsets. We can do, you know, some video endpoints, you know, things of that nature for, you know, 30 to 60 days. So if anybody wants to, you know, go through that process, it really is painless and pretty quick to get spun up to. So within a few days, we can get everything to you guys and you guys can start playing with it on the customer side. So it's just good for, especially if you have something of, you know, coming up a small office needs to be looked at. You might be interested in Zoom for Government to be able to do that. That's a quick turn up for us. We can easily get that as a proof of concept. You guys can start playing with it. So just wanted to throw that out there to the audience. So Julian, that's all the questions I have for today.
Excellent. Well, yeah, I really appreciate the information, Leo and Dave. I'd you know, one thing that stands out to me is we you know, work with partners on projects, but also particularly with these with the podcasts and the webinars, is it's really, I think, remarkable how effectively Zoom has adapted their technology and their products to the federal space and the particular needs of government and civil agencies. I think it's really remarkable. There's one question that I actually wanted to ask, and just for clarification, I think might be of interest to some of the customers, and that is, you know, when you talk about having redundancy, you know, for the Fed products, you know, Fed and SLED, those are really on a totally separate data network, right? So they're not connected to, you know, sort of like the mass population Zoom communications network bandwidth in any way, right? They're completely separate. Data infrastructure, correct?
It is, yes. So two separate clients, two separate platforms. Think of it as Zoom Commercial predominantly houses all of our, you know, consumer all the way upwards to our enterprise business. However, Commercial absolutely has a lot of, you know, really strong security posture as well. And so predominantly, I would say overall public sector, including state and local, healthcare, very much education entities, those agencies, a lot of them exist on Commercial today. However, civilian, federal government, those that work with unclassified, classified, you know, sensitive information, and that do require FedRAMP, StateRAMP, CJIS, absolutely need to go to our separate federalized platform, Zoom for Government. And yes, that is what's one of the requirements we have to meet, is to ensure that those data flows, everything is going through the U.S. as well as U.S.-based personnel, and just some of these other things, like you mentioned, with redundancy.
Okay, interesting. That's very helpful to know. Great. Well, you guys really covered a lot of meaty ground in a quick amount of time today. So that's fantastic. And as Ryan pointed out, you know, if anyone's interested in doing, you know, a rollout of, you know, some test products, we'll put some information below in the description for that so that you can reach out to Ryan and the good folks at Converge One Government Solutions and engage Zoom on that front. So I want to thank everybody for joining us today. Thanks again, Ryan, of course, and Leo and Dave for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Well, thanks, guys. Everyone have a great day.
Cheers. Thank you.